please.
839, approve application under the Multiple Unit Limited Tax Exemption Program for church apartments located at 8432 North Syracuse Street.
So, colleagues, this is one of many innovative programs that the city has to address housing affordability in the city of Portland. These programs are complementary to the recent voter-approved housing bond and aligns with the goal of increasing the supply of affordable housing. In other words, the city has many different programs and policies at our disposal, many of which have received the intense attention of my administration over the last 7 months. This is just one of many. The Multiple Unite Limited Tax Exemption Multi-Program is one of the important tools to promote mixed-income rental housing that would otherwise be available only at market rates. Portland's market, as everybody understands, is experiencing very low vacancy rates, and the multi-program provides a crucial incentive to develop affordable housing units. The church apartments is just the latest project to come before the council for approval of a multi. The council has approved 20 projects over the last year and a half, which is projected to result in over 400 affordable housing units becoming available in the next couple of years. To discuss this particular program at the church apartments, we have representatives of the Housing Bureau, including Director Krieger, if you wanted to start us off, sir.
Thank you very much, Mayor Wheeler. Council, Kirk Krieger, Housing Director. I'm pleased here today to introduce Dori Van Bonkel, who is the chief staff in charge of this program. And I would underscore that we are entrusted not only by you, the City Council, but also by the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners to administer this tax abatement program. It was designed as a means by which to tap the hydraulics of the private market and the private sector to incentivize them to provide affordable housing that would otherwise not be made available. So it's done in cooperation with private developers using their own capital. And Dori is that single point of contact that helps them understand the program and helps them work through the obligations and the commitments that go with the program. So with that, I'll let Dori explain the Church Street Apartments and the specific developer.
Good afternoon. Dori Van Bockel with the Housing Bureau.
Good afternoon.
And so this is actually a developer who has submitted a couple of other applications that have been approved for the multi previously. This particular project is in the St. John's Cathedral Park neighborhood and is a smaller one for the program in that there's 22 total units, resulting in 5 units of housing affordable at the 60% of area median income level. And still will result in a reduction of rents by an average about $400 or $500 per unit for those affordable units over the 10-year period of the tax exemption.
The other thing that I would mention is that this program was refined under the sponsorship and tutelage of Commissioner Salzman and made more useful and streamlined for the private partners. So the projects that you will see, including the Church Street Apartments and the remaining few coming forward, are those that were created and authorized under the former multiple unit tax exemption program. On a going forward basis, you're likely to see more projects that are complying with your inclusionary housing policy, and the tax abatement is one of the offsets among many others that are offered to private developers. The biggest difference is that we're going from 20 years of affordability,
10
years of affordability under the current model to 99 years of affordability going forward. I was never particularly comfortable with buying temporary affordability because in 10 years we could still have a different kind of housing problem. So the longer-term affordability is quite important. There are some equitable contracting responsibilities that come with this money. Could you explain that, Dori?
Yes. In order to reach towards the goal of 20% participation in the construction contracting by minority women and emerging small businesses, we do have the developers contract with a third-party technical assistance provider who can provide feedback, help with bidding processes, et cetera, in order to reach towards that goal. Look at what plans they have, the steps that they take and will take in order to hopefully reach that outcome. And it's been a short term that we've had that in place over the last year and a half or so. And what we've been able to do is see some positive outcomes from it, but more than anything, also use it as a learning experience. And so that's one of the requirements of this voluntary multi-program that's been in place, that we have seen some success, at least in the relationships forged between the particularly minority contracting community and some of the local developers.
Kirk, Mr. Director, I was pleased that you mentioned Commissioner Saltzman's reforms of this program, and I might quarrel with you about, quote, making it more useful, but I think the signature achievement was convincing the county to lift the cap, because, as you know, we had a hard cap, and with a hard cap, there were fewer people eligible. So whether it was a competitive process that or not, whether it was streamlined or not, the bottom line is we got fewer projects that were covered. I think that was important. I also, just because I like history, I will remind my colleagues that in 2008, the auditor issued a blistering audit of our tax abatement programs. And out of that came a series of council actions to address the concerns the auditor raised. One was about transparency, and one was about ongoing oversight and accountability. And there were some structural issues. As a result of that, Mayor and colleagues, the program migrated from the Portland Development Commission to the Portland Housing Bureau. Portland Housing Bureau was required to give no less than annual reports to the council. We now have a routine procedure where we get a report and certain projects are delisted and disqualified because of failure to follow the criteria. And that money then comes back to the county and to the city. And in addition to those changes, under Dan's watch, we addressed some concerns that developers had that it was cumbersome. We eliminated the competitive process, and we lifted the cap. So that's a lot that's happened since 2008. I also want to acknowledge, although it doesn't get the same attention, that the Bureau now routinely puts an impact statement with these requests. So we actually have a slide that shows us exactly what we're buying and what 60% of AMI looks like and who benefits. So a lot of progress around transparency and accountability. It still is not my favorite tool because it's not addressing the acute problem in our community. But if we're looking at a toolkit that has many tools and allows us to do many different things, it's the best tool we have for this purpose. And I continue to have a concern that we're really not focusing on where the greatest need is. This particular tool is not geared to get us there. And so we either accept the limitations of this tool and get some units spread around the community in nice buildings, or we don't. That's a fundamental policy question. And as we currently stand, the city and the county both think that this is a good investment, so I will go along with it. But appreciate the work of the Bureau in improving public trust in these programs through the oversight work you do.
The only other thing I'd like to mention is that in 2016, the City Council enacted the North-Northeast Preference Policy. And it was decided that every project that the Bureau is funding directly or indirectly in North and Northeast Portland would abide by the preference policy itself. So even though we're not directly financing these units, the developer will participate in the preference policy and will be using the NOAP fee platform as a means by which to fill vacancies, which also creates a relationship between the private developer and the Tyrone Pools organization, so that on a going forward basis, if they have other properties elsewhere in the city, they might choose to use that platform as a way to fill vacancies. It's very important that we match the people that need the housing, because we're always getting the question about where are these and how do I get on a waiting list. And in this particular instance, because it's in North and Northeast Portland, the path to return that was created by council in that policy would apply to these units.
Very good. Colleagues, any further questions? Do we have public testimony on this item?
No one signed up.
Very good. Please call the roll.
Saltzman.
Thank you, Dory and Kurt, for your good work. And this is a great project, and I'm happy to support it. Aye.
Udaly.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye.
The ordinance is adopted. Thank you. Next item.